Okay, so we're holding on Mem Dalad Omud Bey's three lines from the bottom. We talked about yesterday the various opinions of what kind of relationship creates a mamzer. Rabbi Akiva says any chayvi lavin, so anytime there's a lav that a particular man and woman are not allowed to have relations, then if they do, the child is a mamzer. We said Shimon Atimni says that only if it's chayvi krisus. And the last thing we mentioned was Rabbi Yeshua says only if it's missus based. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Rav Chana, Omer Rav Yechanan, HaKol Moedim Be'eved Ve'ovid Kechavim Abba Abbas Yisrael. Everybody agrees when it comes to an Eved Knani, that is, or a Goy, who has relations with a Jewish woman, Shavlad Mamzer, that everybody agrees was saying that the child would be a Mamzer. Now, we have such cases nowadays, of course, and we don't consider them Mamzerim. This obviously is not the last word on the subject. We're going to be dealing throughout the Sugya over here with different opinions on the subject. But he starts out by saying that everybody agrees that the child would be considered a mamzer. So the Gemara says, man hakol moedim. Who is this hakol moedim? When we say everybody agrees, we mean Shimon Atimni. We mean Shimon Atimni, whose opinion we quoted before, that only chayvei krisus create a mamzer, which we mentioned before, and we're going to have it in the Mishnah and Daf Mem Tes. The afagav de omer Shimon Atimni a mamzer chayvei lavin. Even though Shimon Timni says that Chayve Lavin are not able to create a mamzer, there's lavim for Koyanim, but fine, lavim for Koyanim are specific to Koyanim, but let's say, for example, there are lavim that are generic to the Jewish people, for example, that a Jewish woman is not allowed to marry an Amoni or Mayovi Ger, during a male Amoni or Mayovi Ger, so those are lavim. So he says, nevertheless, that doesn't create a, that it's also, but it doesn't create a mamzer. But Hani Mili Mechayve Lavin, the Tafsibu Kedushin. However, Shimon Atimni would say that only applies to Chayve Lavin, where Kedushin at least would be Tofus. Namely, so for example, to take our example just now, if a Jewish woman marries an Ammoni or Mayavi Ger, for example, they're not allowed to, the Torah says, but nevertheless, the Kedushin are effective, and she's going to need a get from him. So therefore, so those kinds of lavim, then because kedushin are topus, then Rashim and Atimni is going to say that it doesn't create a mamzer. Aval hocha, but over here, Ovid kachavim ve'eved, given by taxi bill kedushin, here kedushin are not even topus with a goy or with an eved. They're not even in the category of people to whom kedushin applies. So Rashi goes on at some length over here to explain how exactly we know that. But therefore, for that extent, they're the equivalent of chayve krisis. So even according to Shimon Atimni, then the child of such a thing would be a mamzer. The Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Ovid Kechavim Ve'eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. So the Tanakama of the Braisa indeed says that the child of such a thing is a Mamzer. But Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Ein Mamzer Elam Misha Isure Isu Erva Va'onush Koris. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says that a Mamzer is only from where there's an Isu Erva and Koris. Now, the point is, in other words, he holds, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda effectively holds the same as Shimon Atimni. Because he's mentioning the concept of chayve krisus, and we're saying that he's saying ein mamzer elam mishi isura isu erva v'onush koris. In other words, implying this particular case that we're talking about, the goy or the eved having relations with a bas yisrael, is not an isu erva. It's not koris. It's only a lav, and therefore the implication is he's saying that there's no mamzer from it. So you're telling me that Shimon Atimni agrees. Shimon Atimni, and in other words, the assumption is everybody who agrees with him everybody who agrees with his opinion about what makes a mamzer would agree with Rav Baba Chana is saying that they would agree that it creates a mamzer. But we see here, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda clearly says that even though he holds like Shimon HaTimni, as far as the definition of mamzer, he doesn't extend that to a goy or an eved. So therefore, you can't say that Hakol Moedim means even those who say like Shimon HaTimni are going to say that the child in this case is a mamzer. Elo, Amar Rav Yosef, Hakol Moedim Rebbe. So rather, Rav Yosef says, okay, when we say Hakol Moedim, we can still salvage what Rav Baba Chana is saying, that when he says Hakol Moedim, specifically he's referring to the opinion of Rebbe. Af Agav de Rebbe Omer, namely that even though Rebbe says, in the next perek, in the next perek we're going to be getting back to matters of Yibum and Chalitza. We're going to talk about the various permutations of Chalitza and Bia and Get. So far we learned yesterday that once you do Bia with one of a man's wives, with one of the brother's wives, then you pater all the other ones. Or once you do Chalitza, you pater all the other ones. So we're going to discuss in the next paragraph what happens, for example, if there were two wives and he did Chalitza with one of them and then he did Bia with the other one. So we're going to discuss the details of that in the next parak, Be'ez Hashem. And Rebbe says, Ein advorim alolo amurim. This that we're saying over there, that she doesn't even need a get because it's not toifus. Elo l'divir Rebbe Akiva. All of that, says Rebbe, is only according to Rebbe Akiva, shoya oisa chalutza ke'erva. Where he says that a chalutza is the equivalent of an erva. As we learned yesterday, Rabbi Akiva says that even though a chalutza where a man has relations with her, where the yavam then has relations with her after giving her chalutza, is usually, we said before, according to the chachamim, is only an isur lav. But we said, we discussed back and forth about what Rabbi Akiva holds about it, and we ended up saying that he holds that in fact it is daraisa because he learns from base chalutza nol. So Rebbe says that that's only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that a chalutza is like an erva. Would we say therefore that the kiddushin, or in this case the bia of a yavama, is not tofus in her, and therefore no get is necessary? But the leilo svirale, implying that Rebbe himself doesn't hold that way. So now Rabbi Yosef is saying what Rabbi Baba Chana means is, even though Rebbe says that he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva on that topic of when kiddushin are and aren't tofus, which also then goes hand in hand with whether it creates a mamzer or not. That's what the Gemara is assuming at this point, is that those two things go together. Nevertheless, still, when it comes to a goy or an eved, he is moida that it creates a mamzer. Even though it's not like an erva, even though there's no isur kores involved, nevertheless, he would still say that it creates a mamzer. And we know that we know that because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi Meshum Rabbeinu, that Rav Yitzchak bar Avudimi said in the name of our Rebbe, and our Rebbe means Rebbe, that he said Oyvid Kachavim Ve'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer, that he clearly says this. So therefore we see that Rebbe actually does hold that way. And further, the Gemara continues, Rav Acha Sar Habira is one of the Amiroyim. Why he was called Sar Habira literally means the official of the palace. Why he's called that, we're not sure. The Bira, actually, there are places in Shas where the word Bira refers to the Beis Hamikdash or some part of it. The Pashtus, it can't mean that over here because they lived long after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Unless it could be some kind of honorary title that they gave him, whatever the case. Anyway, so he, Rab Tanchum Breid Rab Chia Ish Kfar Akoy, and Rab Tanchum, the son of Rab Chia from Kfar Akoy, the two of them, Proy Kanu Shvuyasa, the Osame Arman Litveria, they one time redeemed some Jewish women who had been taken captive
in Armon and brought to Tveria. Rashi says Armon is Lam Tuchi, Rashi says, which for Pashtos means Antioch, the capital, what used to be the capital of Syria, nowadays in southern Turkey. Anyway, Armon, because Armon means the palace, so Pashtos Rashi understands that they were captured someplace near the palace, near the royal palace of Syria, and then brought all the way to Tveria. So these two Amiroyim, Rav Acha and Rav Tanchum, redeemed them, paid money for Pidyon Shavuyim for them. And Havachodah de'Ibram Ovid Gachavim, among these Jewish women, was one of them who had been impregnated by a goy, which in fact is the reason, by the way, that kind of thing is precisely the reason why we're going to learn in Ksubas in a few months from now, Baz Hashem, that the Chachamim made a rule that when Jewish women are taken captive, we assume there's a very high likelihood that they were raped by the goyim who captured them, and therefore that they're possible a kahuna, and if any of them were married to a kohen, we would force them to get divorced. In fact, so in this case, that actually happened. One of these women was in fact pregnant from a goy. But also the Kamei de Rav Ami, and they came to Rav Ami to ask what the din is, what's going to be the din of that child. And Amalahu Rav Yechanan Verab Lazar Verab Chanin Amalahu. So Rav Ami tells them Rav Yechanan Verab Lazar Verab Chanina Da Amri Oved Kachavim Be'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlan Mamzer. All three of those Amiroyim say that the child is a Mamzer. So we have now a whole string of opinions that says that the child is a mamzer. We have Rebbe. We said Rabbi Baba Chana says that Rebbe would agree to that, and we know that because Rav Dimi clearly said it in the name of Rebbe. And we have this example over here. We have this actual case that happened where three Amiroyim, where Rav Ami said that three Amiroyim of the previous generation had all said that the child was a mamzer. So Rav Acha Sarabira is not, he himself is called Sarabira, which literally means the master of the palace. No, he wasn't one of the ones who was captured. He was one of the ones who helped free the captives. Why he's called Sarabira, we're not sure. So Omer Rav Yosef Rabusel Mechshav Gavri. So Rav Yosef says, what is it, a big thing to list a whole bunch of authorities? Okay, very nice. So you have one Tana Rebbe, and you have three Amiroyim, or depending on it, you have three Amiroyim of the previous generation, quoted by Rav Ami, that say that the child is a mamzer. But is that all? Just because you have a whole string of names is enough to say that should be the final halacha? Harav Shmuel b'Bavel, don't you have on the other side? You have both Rav and Shmuel in Bavel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Bakapara be'Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Bakapara. Ba'amrilo, others say Chilufi Bakapara ba'Eili Zikne Dorim. Others say you have to switch out Bakapara and bring in instead Zikne Dorim, the elder Talmid Chachamim from the south of Eretz Yisrael, and all of them say Da'amri Ovid Kachavim be'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlad Kosher. They all say the child is kosher. So what are you talking about, says Rabbi Yosef, as though because Rebbe says it, and because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Chanina said it, that's the last word on the subject? Not so. There are many Amiroyim who hold the other way around. So the point is also, Rabbi Yosef says, fine. As far as Amiroyim, we have plenty of Amiroyim on both sides. You have on one side, you have three Amiroyim, on the other side, you have four. But Elo Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe, rather Rabbi Yosef says that we can paskin the halacha on the basis of what we're saying that Rebbe is saying. Because as we just said, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Dimi, in the name of Rabbeinu, which is Rebbe, Mishum Rabbeinu Omru, they said in the name of Rebbe, Ovid Kachavim Be'Eved Abba Abbas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. So Rav Yosef says, that's more the last word on the subject. Fine, as far as Amiroyim, we have Amiroyim on both sides of the thing, but since we have Rebbe, a Tana, telling us of Vlad Mamzer, then Rabbi Yosef says, forget about which Amiroyim hold which way. The point is, we do have a basis to say that in fact that should be the halacha because Rebbe says it. On the other hand, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I'm a Vlad Mekulgo. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, the child is messed up. Now, what does that mean? Mekugel is not quite the same as mamzer. So the man, so what do we mean? He's messed up as far as what? What exactly is this child going to be able to do or not going to be able to do in terms of marriage?
Spoiled child.
Yeah, spoiled child. Yeah. So Laman, so for whom is the child messed up? Again, we're talking about where the father is a goy, you're an eved, and the mother is a Jewish woman. So ilema lakohol, are you going to say that Rabbi Shurban Levi means that he's messed up and he can't marry within the kohol of Jews generically? Can't be. Ha'am Rabbi Shurban Lad Kosher. We just said a few lines ago that Rabbi Shurban Levi was one of the Amiroyim who we brought who said the child is kosher. Ela lakohuna. Rather, the answer is, we mean as far as kahuna. De kulu amiroi, de machshiri, because even though we just said that there are four amiroim who say that the child is kosher, even though they say that, moidu shavlad pogum la kahuna, they still agree that the child is pogum, that the child is defective as far as kahuna, meaning, in other words, that if it's a girl, she can't marry a kohen. There are even actually some mafoshim that want to say the interesting possibility that if the child is a boy and eventually he grows up and gets married and has a daughter, that child should be possible to kohuna. That's not generally accepted by the poskim, but the first one that's such a girl. Now, even we say pogum lakohuna, what happens is, for example, if such a child marries, if such a daughter marries a kohen, then lachatchila, but lachatchila is something else, actually. Lachatchila is a different scenario. So then we do in fact tell them they can't be married for the the kohen's wife can't have, her father can't be a goy. Again, we do that on the basis of a kavachomer from an almana, which we used this kavachomer yesterday when we were discussing the question of machzu grushosoi, whether the child is pogum lakohuna. So now we have a similar thing. Ma almana lakohen gadol she'ini sura shava bakohol. Ma doch an almana marrying or having relations with a kohen gadol, which is not an issur that applies equally to everybody. B'na pogum, and yet the child. An almana marrying a kohen gadol, the issur is not equivalent by everybody, because only a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. And yet bna pogum, yet the child from such a thing is pogum and is a cholol. So we discussed yesterday the possibility that maybe it's not 100% cholol, but the point is also to marry a kohen. So zushi isura shava bakol. So then this particular case of a Jewish woman with a goy or an eved, which is an issur that applies to all Jewish women, ein adin shebna pogum. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that the child is pogum, meaning that if it's a daughter, she can't marry a kohen. Rashi mentions, by the way, that obviously when we say b'na pogum, we can't mean obviously that the child is not a kohen. Obviously not. His father is a goy, so there's no way he can be a kohen. We don't mean also that b'na pogum, we don't mean in the sense that he's not allowed to marry a bas kohen, because there's no rule. The rules of whom a kohen is allowed to marry only apply to the men. The Gemara in Kedushin formulates the rule loy huzru ksheres milinasil psulim, that Jewish women who are kosher, there's no issue on them to marry psulim, meaning if a bas kohen wants to marry a cholol or what have you, then she's allowed to. So what we mean is, Rashi explains, b'na pogum, what we really mean is her daughter, that if she has a daughter, then she's posel a kohona. Okay, so again, we're going to try to slug up that kavachomer like we did yesterday. After all, how do you compare? An almana l'kohen gadol, she herself becomes a chalola, in the sense that we said she herself is also to ever marry a kohen as a result of this. So she was an almana before she would have been allowed to marry a regular kohen, just not a kohen gadol. Now, as a result of marrying and having relations with a kohen gadol, now she becomes a halala and is possible to other kohenim as well. So how do you compare? And the answer is hachanami kimin shenivala psala. As a matter of fact, yes, the same thing does apply over here. Once she had relations with the goy, then she becomes possible to marry a kohen, and not only possible to marry a kohen, Rashi says also even that she's possible from Truma Debe Nasha, what we talked about yesterday, and what we're going to talk about in great detail in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, about the business of eating Truma from her father's house. We're like this. If she's a Bas Kohen, and she was married, and then her husband died or divorced her, and they don't have children, and she doesn't have any living descendants, then she's able to go back to eating Truma. But if in between she had relations with a Goy then or an Eved, then she would be possible to do that. So yes, as a matter of fact, the effect of being with a Goy is exactly the same effect. It makes her possible for those things. It's exactly the same effect as it would for an Almana being with a Kohen Gadol, and therefore the Kal v'Chomer is valid after all. And we know that because Rabbi Yechanan says Mishum Rabbi Yechanan Minayin La'ovid Kachavim Ve'Eved Abal Akehenes Valalviya VaYisraelus Shepsulua. How do we know that if a goy or an eved has relations with a bas koyin or a bas levi or bas Yisrael Shepsuluha, that they make her possible to ever marry a koyin? In the case of a bas koyin, it also makes her possible from Truma Saviya. So Rashi also points out, actually, it can apply to a Bas Levi and Bas Yisrael as well. Namely, again, we're going to talk about around Daf Samaches. We're going to talk about these dinim in great detail. Suppose that, for example, a Bas Levi or Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. Now, what we have is like this. We've been talking about the idea that if her husband leaves her childless, then she's a Bas Kohen, she's allowed to go back to eating Truma. There's also the flip side of it, which is if she's married to a Kohen, she being a Bas Levi or Bas Yisrael, married to a Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma. Her husband is allowed to eat Truma, so is she. If her husband dies or divorces her and leaves her with children, then the children are allowed to eat Truma, and so is she as their mother. That's called Machil. We're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about that concept of Machil, of that her children make it possible. Her children make it possible for her to eat Truma. However, what we're saying over here is if in between she had had relations with a Goy or an Eved, then that would pass on her. So in other words, so let's say, for example, she's a Bas Yisrael. Growing up, of course, she can't eat Truma. She's a Bas Yisrael. She marries a Kohen. Now she's able to start eating Truma because she's his wife. Then later on, he dies and leaves her with children. The children are allowed to eat Truma. So is she. But if she has relations with a Goy or an Eved, then she's possible from eating Truma. So her children can still continue to eat, but she herself is now possible. So how do we know all that? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Vas Koyen Kisi Almono Grusha. The Pasuk says, if a Bas Koyen becomes a widow or a divorcee, implying Mishi Yeshle Almonus Vegerushen Ba. So this, all these dinim apply only when widowhood and divorce is possible, namely that she was married to a Kohen or Levi or Yisrael, with kedushin or tofus. Yotzu oved kachav ve'eved chein lahem almonus v'gerushin ba, as opposed to a goy or an eved where almonus and gerushin don't apply because, as we talked about at the top of the omud, kedushin are not tofus with them. So therefore, so we're saying that them having relations with her is poisel her, right? So now, on the basis of that, we're saying that the child, even if we say that the child is not a mamzer, nevertheless, we would still say that the child is pogum for kohuna, that if it's a daughter, she can't marry a kohen. However, the child of the relationship, right? So we're talking about, so now we're saying something else. We're going back to what we were saying about a Jewish woman has relations with a goy or with an eved. And by the way, we have to stress, of course, you know, this applies whether it was consensual or not. The case we had before involving the captives obviously wasn't consensual. It was rape. And nevertheless, the din is still the din, yeah. Anyway. Yana Amalek. All right, let's talk after. Yeah, Yana Amalek, right. That's true, right. So actually, yes, you have the story in Kedushin. Yeah, very good, actually. You have the story in Kedushin, actually, where Yana Amalek makes a banquet and invited to celebrate military victories of his, and invites the Chachamim. And then at that banquet, one of the Chachamim challenges him and says, you don't deserve to be Kohen Gadol because your mother was a Shvuya, and a Shvuya is possible to marry a Kohen. And the Gemara says over there, they checked into it, they couldn't find any evidence to substantiate that she had in fact been a Shvuya. Gemara, so therefore they left well enough alone. The Gemara says there were terrible consequences that came from this whole story, but that was namely that Yana became a tzaduki and started persecuting and killing the Chachamim. But in terms of the halacha, they didn't have enough evidence to substantiate that his mother was a shvuya. If they had, then they would have disqualified him as Kohen Gadol. Yeah. That's something else. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So far we're saying that Rebbe at least holds that the child of a goy and a Jewish woman is considered a manzer. And we said that even the Amiroyim who say that the child is kosher would still agree that they're pogrom l'kohona. So now, Omalei Abaya. So now Abaya says to Rav Yosef, so you're saying, Rav Yosef, that because we have Rav Dimi reporting in the name of Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dimi, who in turn reports in the name of Rebbe, that the child is a mamzer. Therefore, that definitely means that's what Rebbe holds like, and therefore that needs to be the halacha. Well, Abaya says, my chos is to samchas ad Rav Dimi. What makes you say that we should davka rely on Rav Dimi's report of what was said? Smoich ad Rovin. Instead, rely on what Rovin said. Diki also Rovin, because when Rovin came also from Eretz Yisrael, and we find in many places in Shas that was the order of things. First, Rav Dimi would come from Eretz Yisrael, and he would bring reports of what the Chachamim are discussing in the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael. And later on, at some point, Rovin would come, and many times Rovin would be correcting or updating or clarifying things that Rav Dimi had said. Is it the same as Rav Dimi Minahada? I don't know. For Pashto, it's not, otherwise he wouldn't have to be called Minahada, but I don't know. Anyway, to also Rovin, Omar, when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Rav Nosson and Rav Yehuda Nosi modim bola hatera. That Rav Nosson and Rav Yehuda Nosi both say that it's mutter, that the child is not a mamzer. Uman Rav Yehuda Nosi Rebbe. And we know that Rav Yehuda Nosi is another name for Rebbe. So therefore you see that Rebbe in fact holds that the child is kosher. So that's contradicting what we said before. That's what Abaya is saying. So Abaya is saying to Rabbi Yosef, you're saying we have a report from Rabbi Dimi of what Rebbe said. On the basis of that, you want to say the child is a mamzer, but here we have an opposing report from Rabin that says that Rebbe, also known as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, says that the child is kosher. And the Gemara says, "Va'af Rav Moda Bohatera." As a matter of fact, Rav also holds that it is mutter for that such a child is mutter. He's not a mamzer. Dahuda also came to Rav, because we know this because there was a case of a person who came to Rav with such a question. Omalei, he asks him, "Ovid kachavim ve'eved abba bas Yisrael mahu? What is the din if a goy or an eved has relation to the bas Yisrael?" Omaloi Havlad kosher. So Rav tells him the child is kosher. He's not a mamzer. Omaloi. There is, by the way, an interesting explanation that some of the Mephoshim say that Havlad kosher in these contexts means that the child. There are some Rishonim who learn actually an interesting idea that Havlad kosher doesn't mean that the child is a Jew. He may still be Gerus. Later on, we're going to talk about a sugya. We're going to talk about the sugya of Gerus in the next couple of blah. There are Rishonim who learn that the child would need Gerus. What it means he's kosher is once he's a ger, then he's not also a mamzer. We don't say, in other words, that he's a, we don't say, in other words, that even though he becomes a ger, there's still a residual mamzerus. But nevertheless, there are Rishonim who hold that he would need Gerus. Lemaisa, we don't hold that way. It's hard to say mice in b'chol yoyim, but unfortunately, it does happen a lot of times that you have nowadays people whose fathers were goyim and mothers are Jews, and we accept them as full fledged Jews and not as mamzerim, and not that they don't require gerus. So Rav says a vlad kosher. Omalei, so the guy says to Rav, I'm in that situation. I myself, my father was a goy. So if you say the child is kosher, havli brata, give me your daughter. Let me marry your daughter. So Rav says, lo yehivna lach. I'm not gonna have you marry my daughter. So Omer Shimi bar Chia l'Rav. So Shimi bar Chia, who was one of Rav's nephews, because Rav Chia, or cousins actually, Rav Chia was Rav's uncle. So Shimi bar Chia was his nephew. Or actually, not necessarily. No, this is not Shimi bar Rav Chia. This is Shimi bar Chia. This is actually Rav's grandson. Rav had a son named Chia, and this Shimi bar Chia is his grandson. So he says to Rav, with a popular expression, Amri Inshi, there's an expression people say, Gamla b'modai akaba rakta, a camel in modai dances on a cav. In other words, it's a guzma, a cav, after all, is a very small size container. A camel is quite large, but some people have this expression. In other words, like when you're talking about something that something very rare to see, a very rare situation, and people say, like all the way over there in Madai, you'll actually see it. Madai is very far away from Babel. So in this case, Shimi Bar Chiya says, ha kaba. Well, here we have the cab and the camel and modai, but it's not dancing. In other words, Shimi Bar Chiya is telling his grandfather Rab, you're matir something which is a big chidush, because up until now we've been saying that a vlad mamzer, and now you're saying a vlad kosher. So put your money where your mouth is, as they say. Show that it's that is actually the halacha, and let him marry your daughter. And Rav answers, E Nehavi Yeshua bin Nun, even if this guy was of the caliber of Yeshua bin Nun, Lo Yehivna Le Brati, I wouldn't allow him to marry my daughter. Because, as great as he might be, nevertheless, I don't want my daughter to marry a guy whose father was a goy. So Shimi Bar Chiya says, So Shimi Bar Chiya says, "E havak Yeshua ben Nun." You know what? At least if this guy was of the caliber of Yeshua ben Nun, "E mar lo yohiv layachrini yahavilei." Then fine. Then fine. Rav, you wouldn't give him your daughter in marriage, but other people would. Hi, but this guy is not of that caliber. "E mar lo yohiv layachrini lo yahavilei." If you don't allow him to marry your daughter, nobody else is either. And therefore, you're saying over here a chiddush. You're passing a chiddush. You should follow through with it in order that people see that in fact is the halacha.
That's his grandson.
Yeah. So the Gemara says loy have a ka'ozo mekameh. The guy wasn't leaving. He was still nudging Rav about this. Yohevei ain't even shochiv. So Rav put his eyes on him, and the guy passed away. Now, why does he pass away? He may be nudging Rav. Is that reason enough for him? Is that reason enough for him to die? So Ben Yehoyada says essentially that what it is if he keeps on petitioning Rav to marry his daughter and Rav is telling him no, people are going to mistakenly think that Rav himself is unsure about this halacha. That even though Rav said, Avlad Kosher, maybe he's not really sure about it and therefore he doesn't want to follow through with it. So therefore, so his grandson is pestering him. Fine, that's his grandson. He's not going to, but this guy has no business mixing in over there. And the point is, by doing that, people are going to think that maybe the halacha, that really Rav is not so certain about this halacha either. There is actually, I remember seeing a reference that actually Rav Levick, the Rebbe's father, has an explanation about our Gemara over here, about why this strange expression involving a camel and modai and whatever, and why he compares him to Yeshua ben Nun. Unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to look it up, but I'll look it up and post it on the group afterwards, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah. One point is, though, that Ben Yehoyada does point out the reason for the metaphor, including a camel, is because a camel is one of the four creatures that has only one simen Torah. And similarly, in a certain sense, this guy has one simen Torah. His mother is a Jew. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the other simen Torah because his father is a guy. Yeah. We do find, actually, we know that Yeshua ben Nun famously married a Gioris. Rochav Azoyna became a Gioris and married him, so maybe that has something to do with it, why Rab is specifically using the metaphor if he was like Yeshua ben Nun. Continues the Gemara. But after Rav Masna Moda Bola Hetera, now Rav Masna also paskin in practice that a child of such a union between a goy and a Jewish woman is kosher. And can marry a Jewish woman. But after Rav Yehuda, also Rav Yehuda paskin in practice that such a thing is allowed. And we know that because we know that there was a case of somebody who came to Rav Yehuda, Omalei, and Rav Yehuda told him, Zil Itamar, go hide yourself. In other words, if you want to marry a Bas Yisrael over here, nobody's going to, because nobody, like, it's going to be like with Rav before. People know your father was a goy, and they're not going to want you to marry into their families. But go someplace else, and don't tell them what your yichus is, and then you'll be free to marry whoever you want, because nobody's going to ask. So we see, in other words, he's obviously not a mamzer. If he was a mamzer, then a mamzer has an iser to not marry a ksheira. So therefore, in effect, Rabbi Yehuda is telling him, you're not a mamzer. All it is people don't like marrying off their daughters to somebody whose father was a goy. So fine, go someplace else and don't tell them that your father was a goy. Oy, or if you don't want to do that, nosif bas minoch, then marry somebody of your own kind, a Jewish woman whose father was a goy. Implying don't marry a mamzeres or a shifcha, implying that you're kosher. If he was possible, if he himself was a mamzer, then he would be allowed to marry a mamzeres or a shifcha. So therefore, a ben yisrael, a yisrael kosher is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. The same way as a mam, there's an iser for a mamzer, lo yove mamzer v'kal Hashem, the iser is on either one. The iser is on the mamzer to marry the Jewish woman. The iser is also on a mamzeres to marry a Jewish man.
Kind of thing going on.
Well, we do have this kind of thing nowadays. We have, so yes, we do have nowadays when there's mamzerus, there's a lot of trouble with it. What there is there are a lot of cases where the rabbanim are able to figure out on some basis or other that the child is not in fact a mamzer. For example, one unfortunately common case that creates a possibility of mamzerim is when a woman was married, didn't get a get, and then remarries. We're there, her children from her second marriage are going to be a mamzerim. However, many times, especially if the first marriage was a civil marriage, particularly, most contemporary poskim hold that civil marriages are not considered marriages lahalacha, and therefore you don't need a get from the first one. Famously, for example, Rav Moshe held that way, and many other rabbonim held that way. Famously, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin did not hold that way. He held that civil marriage is considered marriage, and she would need a get from it, which would mean that the children from such a second marriage, from a second marriage after that, would be mamzerim. But he didn't push the issue publicly. But but there can be cases nowadays, somehow or other, whether it can be from that, whether it can be poshut from arayas, whatever it is. Unfortunately, you do have the occasional case of mamzer. Rabbanim will work over time to avoid it, to not have to declare the child a mamzer, but sometimes you don't have a choice. There was actually a very high profile case in Israel about 50 or 60 years ago. I don't remember all the details, but the gist of it is there was a case where a woman had been married and divorced without a get and then remarried. But the twist was her first husband was a ger, and there was some of the rabbanim of that time who argued that maybe her first husband gerus was posel, and therefore that he was a goy, and therefore that it wasn't a marriage, and therefore that the second marriage is valid. It became a very high pro. You can look it up sometime. It was called the Langer case. Look it up sometime. It was very, very.
There is a mom today. They're very, very in trouble.
If there's a mamzer today, well, so
they can marry a ger.
So they can marry a ger. They can marry another mamzer, yes. Yeah. All right, let's go on.
Not so many moms,
right? All right, let's go on with the Gemara. Okay, so we see anyway, the point is that Rav Yehuda told him that he's entitled to hide his lineage so people don't know and marry a Bas Yisrael, or that he's allowed to marry that he's not allowed to marry a mamzeres or shifcha. So all of that implies that he's kosher. And v'chi osa l'kamei de Rava. Similarly, when a person came to Rava with such a shaila, same thing. Rava told him the same thing. Amalei oy goli, either go into golus to a different place where nobody knows who you are. Oy nasiv bas minach, or marry a woman of your own kind whose father was a goy. So from all of that, we see that such a child. We see that there are many amiroyim who hold that such a child is kosher, and that's what we're saying. So now continues the Gemara. Shochule bnei bei michsi l'rabba. The people of bei michsi, which is the name of a place, sent a message to ask Rabba. Misha chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin abba bas Yisrael mahu. What about if the father is not a goy or an eved, but a half eved and half ben chorin? Which, for example, the most straightforward case is where the eved was owned by two partners and one of them freed him. You also have certain cases where the Eved is able to buy half his freedom. Talks about it in Masechta Gittin. Anyway, so we know throughout Shas there is this concept. You can have a person is half Eved and half Ben Churin. So now, if he has relations with a Bas Yisrael, Mahu, what would be the din? Is the child kosher or not? So Rabba answers them. Hashta eved kule, I'm reading chet kosher. Listen, it's a kavah chomer. If you're saying that even if it's a complete eved was the father, nevertheless the child is kosher. Chetzi mi boya. How much more so if he's only half? Omer Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef says, not necessarily. Mora de Shmaita Manu, after all, who is the master of this teaching? This that was saying that the child is kosher when the father is a goyim and eved. Who is the master of it? Who is the one who said that most explicitly so far? Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the one, because we just said that Rav Yehuda had said to the guy whose father was a goy, he told him, go hide yourself, go pretend that you're your father was a Jew, and then you'll be able to marry a Bas Yisrael. V'ha'omer Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda himself says, on the other hand, mi shechetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, abo Bas Yisrael, oisei vlad ein loy takana. He says that the child has no takana. In other words, which sounds like he's a mamzer. So we see that even, so not necessarily, says Rabbi Yosef to Rabba. You're saying it's a kavah choymer, if it's a full Eved, and the child is considered kosher, then how much more so if he's only half Eved? Not necessarily. Rabbi Yehuda himself, who's clearly saying that if the father is an Eved or a goy, the child is kosher, even he is saying that if it's chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chorin, or you say vlad ein le takana. So the Gemara says not necessarily, because ki itman and ein le takana would also mean that he can't marry a regular Jewish woman, and he can't marry a mamzeres, because half of him, in effect, half of him is kosher and half of him is basal. So the answer is no. Ki itmar de Rav Yehuda, you're going to kaddish bas Yisrael. No, when Rav Yehuda is saying ein lo takana, he's talking about a different scenario. He's talking about not where they just had relations, where a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin was makadish a Jewish woman and then married her and had relations with her. Now, what happens when he's Makadosh her? Then half of her is Makudosh to she's Makudosh only to the half of him that's free. She's not Makudosh to the half of him that's an Eved, because we said before, Kedushin aren't Shayach by an Eved. So therefore, the problem is now she's a married woman and he's an Eved, or part of him is an Eved, and he's having relations with an Eshes Ish. So meaning, in other words, Rashi says, all of this that we've been talking about all this time, that was saying that if a Jewish woman has relations with a goy, the child is kosher, all of that was talking about where the woman is not already married. But in this case, the woman is already married because she's married to half of him. So therefore, that would create a mamzer. The nimsa tzad abdus shaboy mishtamish be'eshes ish. So it comes out the half of him that's an eved is having relations with an eshes ish, and that would create a problem. Even if we said that oved kachavim be'eved abba bas yisrael avlad kosher, that means only if she's not otherwise married. But here she's married to half of him, and therefore that creates a problem of mamzerus, because an eshes ish having relations with anybody other than her husband, it creates a mamzer. However, the Gemara says why. Didn't the Chachamim of Nahavda say in the name of Rabbi Yaakov, L'divrei HaPosel, the opinions that said before that the child of a full Eved that has relation to the Bas Yisrael, the opinions that say that the child is posel, means posel afilu b'pnuya, they would say that that's the case even when the woman is otherwise unmarried. And L'divrei HaMachshu, Machshu afilu b'eshes ish. And the one who says it's kosher would hold that even if it was an eshes ish, the child would be kosher. And Ushneim lo lamdua elam eshes av. And in fact, both of them are learning it from the same source. They're both learning it from what we see about eshes av. Why are we mentioning eshes av? Because the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry your father's wife. Lo yikach eshes eshes av. And the next pasuk after that continues lo yovei mamzer, which that is how we learn what the definition of a mamzer is. From that it has to be somehow similar to Eishes Aviv. Later on Daf Mem Tes, we're going to go into detail into how exactly we learn it. We said there are three different opinions of Tanoim on the subject of what creates a mamzer, so they're all going to learn it from this. So once we consider the concept of Eishes Av, then let's consider how that applies over here. Mandapostle, the ones who say that a goy or an eved has relations with a Jewish woman, then the child is a mamzer. They say, sober, they figure, ma eshes ov do I talks about kedushin vavlad mamzer. Well, let's consider, let's make a binyan ab. A father's wife, kedushin aren't toibis because she's an erva to him. So and so Kedushin aren't Toifus. Avlad Mamzer, and the result is the child is a Mamzer, because that's what we learn from that Smuchim in the Torah, because it says Lo Yikach Ish Aseishes Aviv, and right after that Lo Yovei Mamzer teaches us that a Mamzer comes from such a thing. Ach Kol Dolei Tapsi Bo Kedushin Avlad Mamzer. The same thing. Any other case where Kedushin aren't Toifus, then the child would be a Mamzer. So that opinion says, well, Kedushin aren't Toifus with a Goy or an Eved, therefore the child is a Mamzer. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether the woman is a Pnuya or whether she's married. Either way, the point is that a Kedushin aren't Toifus with this guy. And Umanda Machsher, and the opinion that says that the child is kosher of a Goyish father and a Jewish woman, Savar, he figures, Ma Eishes Av, what do we see about an Eishes Av? The point is, Diladidei Le Taxi Ba Kedushin. For him, the stepson, the Kedushin aren't Tophus because she's his father's wife. Lachrini Taxi Ba Kedushin. But to other people, Kedushin would very much be Tophus. She is Shayach to Kedushin. She's just, to him, her husband's son, then she's also because she was his father's wife. But to other people, Kedushin would be Tophus. To the daily Taxi Ba Kedushin, Lachrini Taxi Ba Kedushin. But it would be Tophus for other people. La Puki, Ovid, Kachav, Me'evid. So therefore, that comes to exclude a Goy or an Evid, the Letapsibu Kedushin Klal, where Kedushin are not Tophus in them at all. And therefore, that would be a different kind of thing. So that opinion says it wouldn't create a Mamzer. So again, that opinion doesn't distinguish between whether she's a Pnuya or an Ashes Ish either. Either way, the din would still be the same. Now, what would be a logical reason? So the Rashba discusses what indeed would be the logical reason to say because Kedushin aren't Tophus, therefore the child shouldn't be a Mamzer. He says essentially whether Kedushin are Tophus or not shows us how severe the Isser is. When we see how the Isser is so severe that it prevents Kedushin from being Tophus, but specifically with the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman talks further about this, when we see that it prevents Kedushin from being Tophus, specifically between this particular man and this particular woman, then it means it's a very strong Isser, and that's strong enough to create a Mamzer. As opposed to when Kedushin are Tophus, or when we're saying it's a Goy or an Eved who are not even Shayach to Kedushin, then we say it's still a very severe Isser, but not the kind of Isser that would create a Mamzer, because they're not even, they're not Betodas Gittin. They're not Betodas Gittin, but Kedushin, and a Goy or an Eved are not even within the rules of Gittin and Kedushin, unlike Jews, unlike Arias, who are Betodas Gittin the Kedushin, just that over here, Kedushin are not Tophus because it's an error. So that would be reason to say that as bad as the Isser is, nevertheless, it's not enough to create a Mamzer. So even if she's an Eishes Ish. There is a different Girsa that some Rishonim bring from Abhai Goin, that what the Gemara is saying is not, it's not a matter of being Tophus Kedushin, it's a matter of that the child of an Eved, or the child of a Jewish, the child of a Goyish father who had relations with a Bas Yisrael, or the child of an Eved who had relations with anybody, is not considered his son Bechlal. The son is not Messiachis after the father in such cases. As opposed to, for example, when a man has relations with an Erva, then the child is Messiachis after him, because they're both Jews. And we learned before in the Masechta, for example, that if there was a couple where the children are Mamzerim, for example, they were close relatives and they married, or for example, she's an Eishes Ish or whatever, nevertheless, the child is still considered as child as far as the dinim of Yibum and as far as the dinim of Yerusha and so forth, as opposed to if it was an Eved or a Goy with the father, then not. We say the child is not even Messiachis to them. They're not even considered to be their child in Halacha. So that would be a different reason to say that, therefore, the child is not a Mamzer, because we say it's as if the child has no father Bechlal. So anyway, the point is that we were saying... So that's what we're saying. In effect, one way of understanding it, according to the Baha'i Goyen, is that if a Jewish woman lives with a Goyish man and they have a child, in effect, la halacha, the child doesn't have a father. So in fact, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that tells a story. We're going to talk soon about Rav Mori Bar Rochel, and there's a story in Bava Basra that tells about him where his Goyish father, who himself in the interim had become a ger, wanted to leave him a Yerusha, and Rava said it can't happen because he can't yarshin from his father. Yeah, the Gemara discusses over there how he wanted to gift it to him. The Gemara discusses a whole scenario over there, but the point is we see that they're not considered related. La halacha. So anyway, the point is The point then is that you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chetzia Eved v'Chetzia Ben Chorin, if he marries a Bas Yisrael, then the child is half mamzer and half not mamzer, and therefore that creates a problem. No, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly not saying that, because we just said anybody who says that the child of a full goy who has relation, a full Eved who has relations to the Bas Yisrael, then the child is kosher. Anybody who says that would say the same thing if it's a half Eved. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda's scenario is talking about Gunsha Ba'al Eshesish. We're talking about if this Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chorin, if he takes a Jewish woman who is married to somebody else and has relations with her, then have Vlad Ein Lei Takana. Because now what you have is that half of him is an Eved and half of him is a Ben Chorin, and therefore, so now the child is also, his father is half Eved, half Ben Chorin. So we said that there's no difference whether an Eishes Ish or a Pnuya, but that would be but here we're talking about that. Listen, if a regular Yisrael has relations with an Eishes Ish, then the child is of course a mamzer. Well, here because he's half Yisrael, then you have the same problem, and therefore the Vlad Ein Lei Takana. Okay, another din. However, the Gemara continues on that. Amar Ravina. Omri Rav Gaza told me, Ikla Rav Yosi Ba'oven La'atrian, Rav Yosi Ba'oven one time visited our area, Ba'ava Ubdia B'pnuya, Ba'achshar, Ba'eshes Ish Apostle. And in fact, there were such cases. There was a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin who had relations with an unmarried Jewish woman, and Rav Yosi Ba'oven said the child was kosher. On the other hand, Ba'eshes Ish Apostle. On the other hand, a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin had relations with an Eishes Ish, and Rabbi Yosi Ba'oven said that the child was posel, as we just said, because half of his father is a Ben Chorin, and as a Ben Chorin, then he with, together with an Eishes Ish, creates a mamzer, just like any regular Jew would.
But he doesn't hold that just being married to the same woman doesn't
make. So being married to the same woman, we said, is not necessarily an issue. What we're talking about is
that
we at the top of the Amud, we said Rabbi Yehuda said that it was, but we said we slugged that up. We thought the scenario was that this Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin himself marries a Jewish woman, and then their child is going to be a mamzer. We're saying that's not the case. What we're saying is because the half of him that's a Ben Chorin, of course, is validly married to this woman, no problem with mamzerus, and the half of him that's an Eved, there's no problem if an Eved has relations with an Eishes Ish, that doesn't produce a mamzer. Rather, what we're saying is the case is that he's a Chetzi Eved, a Chetzi Ben Chorin, and he has relations with a woman who's married to somebody else. So now the half of him that's an Eved, fine, we can ignore, but the half of him that's a Ben Chorin is creating a mamzer. So therefore the child is a mamzer, right? However, the Gemara continues, Omer of Sheshis, but of Sheshis, so Ravina had said that, Ravina reported in the name of Rav Gaza that there was a difference between a Pnuya and a Eishes Ish, but Omer of Sheshis, Lididi Omer of Gaza, Rav Gaza personally told me that you don't have the facts exactly right. First of all, it wasn't Rabbi Yosi Ba Oven, it was Rabbi Yosi Ba Zvida. And second of all, that he said it's kosher whether the woman is a Pnuya or whether she's an Eishes Ish.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Gemara continues. Omelet of Acha Bre de Rabba Laravina, or de Rava Laravina, Ikla Amema Laastwin. There's also, we have an example, Amema visited our area, and he declared that the child is kosher whether the mother was a Pnuya or whether she was an Eishesish. And that's the bottom line halacha. And the Gemara gives an example further on this. Rabba Achshere, the Rav Mori Bar Rochel, Rabba declared Rav Mori Bar Rochel kosher. So this Rav Mori Bar Rochel, his mother Rochel was actually a daughter of Shmuel. She had been captured by Goyim. She had been captured by Goyim. And as we discussed before, she had been impregnated by one of them. Later on, the guy who raped her himself became a ger. He's called in various places in Shas Isur Giyora. So he, in fact, the Gemara mentions in other places that he was Nisgayo even before the child was born. So this is an example. So Rav Mori, the child, was harosa shalei b'kedusha v'lei dasa b'kedusha. He was conceived when his father was still a goy, but by the time he was born, his father was already a Jew. But again, his mother was a Jewish woman. So now Rava declared that he is kosher, that he's a kosher yid, not a mamzer. And he appointed him as one of the Pursi of Babel. Rashi explains that Pursi means Gaboyim Memunim Yisrael, people whose job it is to collect taxes or tzedakah or whatever it is from Jews. Now, even though usually, Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Pursi, Tosfos learns, means Memuna, means somebody in charge. Anyway, the point is that he said that this Rav Mori Bar Rochel is kosher to serve in that function. But afagav the omamar. Now, even though we learn in a brisa that when the pasuk says soim tosim alacha melech, the pasuk says you should most certainly place on yourself a king. And the word soim tosim, the double expression, means not only a king but all kinds of kol mesimus chatamesim, all kinds of positions of authority that you set up. Lo yu ela mekerav achecha, they all have to be from among your brothers, meaning just like a Jewish king has to be from among your brothers. It can't be a ger, the same way any other position of authority among the Jewish people can't be given to a ger. So then, so isn't Rav Mori Bar Rochel considered in effect a ger? No. Hi, in this case, given to Imam Yisrael, since his mother is a Jewish woman, then he can be considered mikerav achecha, and he is kosher to serve as one of these mamunim. Tosfos mentions an interesting point over here. You have the famous Gemara in Sota when Agrippa Samelach, where we're now learning Sota during Sfira, so it's an appropriate time to talk about it. So there's a famous story over there where Agrippa Samelach was reading by Hakel. And was reading the Torah by Hakel, and he came to this pasuk, and he started crying, realizing he's not mekerav achecha, and everybody called out to him, "Don't worry, achinu ata." And the Gemara criticizes them very severely for that they chanfed him, they flattered him by telling him wrongly that he's kosher when really he's not. Now, Rashi over there explains that his mother was a Jewish woman, so therefore they called him achinu. But according to Tosfos says, according to that, then what's the problem? Why should they be punished? The fact is, all Gemara is saying that he's kosher. So Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns actually that no, brings from the Rashbam that no, Hurdus did not marry a Bas Yisrael. He married a Shifcha like himself or Giyotis or whatever. So that is why. So they call him Achinu because after all, an Eved is Chayiv in Mitzvahs. Agudibas was a descendant of Hurdus. So they call him Achinu because he's Chayiv in Mitzvahs. Nevertheless, they were still punished because after all, his mother wasn't a Jewish woman like we're saying over here. I think we'll stop over here and we'll continue over Yom Tov, Hashem. Yom Tov.